On RSN Central, the Midweek Masterclass. The boys from the mailbag join Gareth Hall on RSN Central.
It is time for the Midweek Masterclass. Thanks to the mailbag team here on RSN Central on this Tuesday. Let's welcome in the team. Jack Dickens, hello to you.
G'day, G-Man. How are you, bruh?
Good, thank you. Good morning to you, Pete.
Good morning, Gareth.
And good morning to you, Mark.
And good morning to you, Gareth.
So Mark Rhodes and Pete Antonis and Jack Dickens with us on this Tuesday. Let's talk about the informed jockeys in their respective states. We'll start off with you, Dicko. Who's the hot hoop at the moment in Victoria?
Mellum. Benny Mellum. Yep. He's back. He's getting his weight down by now. I think he'll have a point to prove. His stats and data, if you want to look at it that way, are trending the right way. His punting form data says he goes really good at Cranbourne too, which is interesting because Cranbourne's a pretty unique sort of track. I just think he's a super talented rider with a point to prove and a jockey we can trust going forward.
All right then, so Benny Mellum, Jack's jockey to follow going forward, especially for this week. Pete Antonis, what about over there in the West?
Yeah, just going to give a pump up to one of the apprentices, Gareth. Holly Watson's just starting to do some really nice things. 3 kilo claimer still, but last 50 rides is found 9 winners and another 10 placings, running at a good profitability and just doing quite a few things well. Still making a few little mistakes here and there, but you expect that from a 3 kilo claimer, but just able to rate them really well out in front.
And Mark Roden, what about across there in Sydney, or down there in Sydney, I should say?
Jay McDonald, the obvious, just keeps ticking along, but one of the lower profile jockeys who's hit form in the last 9 days is Sam Clipperton. In that time, 18 rides for 8 winners. He's flying.
All right, then. I should say up there in Sydney. I'll get it right eventually. James McDonald, Sam Clipperton, the jockeys to follow. What about James McDonald? Sorry, Dicko, yes?
That wasn't me.
Oh, I thought you said, I thought you yelled out and said something. You wanted to say something. Hey, James McDonald, like when you have a think about that, there's been no jockeys that have reached 100 wins in a metropolitan season in this state, but there's been 2 in New South Wales. But James McDonald's looking for his 5th premiership at the moment. It's been an extraordinary dominance from a man that hasn't even reached 30. And we have to remember that he spent 2 years on the sidelines as well.
But if you think about it another way, there's the 8 horse fields in New South Wales more often than not, and he's on the best horse more often than not.
Yeah.
It's a big edge, I think. I think it's a big edge for the dominant riders in New South Wales.
Who's the best jockey in the country at the moment then, Jack?
If the horse is firm in betting, J-Mac by a mile.
Yeah. Mark, is he clearly the best jockey in Sydney?
I think he is. Yep. Certainly in the last 6 months, but also a longer-term view than that would suggest he's the best. So the thing Dicko said is right, to say you do get a lot of meetings and some thin fields in Sydney, but he's still outperforming the market, which for a jockey of his profile, I feel like I say this every week, is extraordinary.
Yep, unbelievable, really. He's a once-in-a-generation talent, we all know that. What about hot trainers, informed trainers to follow? We'll start off with you, Pete, over there in the West, and there's a few to follow these days.
Yeah, there really is. I've picked one out of left field, though, Gareth. Todd Harvey, last 58 runners, so this current season, he's had 58 starters and 13 winners. It's running at a strike rate of 22.4% and profitable as well. It's a trainer who's just been ultra consistent in my time being a punter in WA. So Todd Harvey's got a few nice little chances there at Belmont tomorrow as well.
All right, then. Mark Roden in Sydney at the moment.
Chris Waller came good again this week, but apart from him, nothing really with a flashing light on it. But I will say that over the last month, the Snowdens and also Gary Portelli are maintaining a very good strike rate.
Okay, so Waller, Portelli and Snowden have been the best performed in the last 3 to 4 weeks anyway. And Jack, here in Victoria?
He's a mate of mine, but I think Mitchie Friedman's about to hit a purple patch. He had a horse there on Sunday at Bendigo, which is a half to Bravo Tango, something Tango, and it knocked us off actually, but it performed really, really well. His horses always look well, and I reckon he's just
so
about
what are you going
spot.
On is he because he's your mate, you mentioned this, or is there been some facts and figures behind Mitch's team that is the reason why we should be following him?
Because it's the time of year for the lesser known stables to come to the fore.
Yeah,
and you won't see it in the data. So like Wayne Hawks, he would never know who's in on Saturday, probably, you know what I mean? He's just worried about the big guys coming back for the spring.
Yeah, I think trainers he does know
who's got racing on Saturday. Well, I was listening until today. I don't know what he's got. Anyway, I like to look for younger trainers with a smaller stable who are looking to target more winnable races for them. They're not looking to compete at the Group 1 level yet because they don't have those horses yet.
All right, then, horses to follow. We'll start off with you, Jack, here.
Come back to me.
All right, then, Pete.
I'm going to follow up with Excellent Dream, Gareth. I had a decent wager at this horse on Saturday, and it's at three wide, no cover. I'm expecting a jockey change next start, and it's just a very consistent conveyance, so I'll be following my money there.
That's one of your punting rules, that when you miss out, you keep on following. Is that right now?
Yeah, it is, and it had absolutely no luck. It was three wide, no cover, and was only beating a length or so in a pretty fast run race, so that ticks a few boxes for me. So one for Uncle Lindsay.
All right, then, Mark, have you got a horse to follow for us?
I've got a few out of the same race at Rose Hill on Tuesday, on Saturday. It was the 1,800-metre race won by Wicklow, who's very promising, but everyone's onto him. Crystal Pegasus and Red Santa, the place getters, can win in similar grades soon. And even Power Me Up, who led this race at a very fast pace and dropped out. When he drops back in grade, he can bounce straight back, I reckon, Power Me Up.
All right, then. So Wicklow, Crystal Pegasus and Power Me Up, so three horses out of the same race.
All right,
that's I like that. Three horses to follow. Jack, have you worked it out yet?
Yeah, De Graves from Saturday at Flemington. Like, what a beast. Big performance first up. Blessed in run, great ride, but put him away and gapped. Like, apart from Think and Fly, absolutely gapped him. I think it's a good horse.
What's your opinion with that protest?
I backed Think and Fly, so I thought it should have got up, Gareth.
Yeah, upheld. Oh, well, if you didn't, what's an opinion taking your financial hit out of the conversation here?
We were on a private stream just betting away on Saturday, and I thought that good chance to get upheld because it lost momentum, and it was Will Price versus Damien Oliver. I think there's, you know, you can sort of get a little bit more hopeful if you're on Oliver versus the Price. We've seen what Craig Williams can do in a protest room.
I just thought that Ollie had to stop riding in a way. He did grab hold. And then the last 50, I think he was stronger to the line than De Graves, who was tiring on his run. So I thought there was a strong chance. The best horse won, there's no doubt about that. But I thought there was a chance that maybe it would have kicked back and won. But I think I am the minority here.
No, I'm with you. I'm just doing like a FYI. I was on Think and Fly.
Yep. What did you have an opinion on this, Pete?
Not particularly. I must say, I wasn't really watching the race. I saw the head on and from behind, and I thought, look, it probably wasn't going well enough through the line. But I spend too much time watching Hong Kong, Gareth, where you don't get to protest if you're a connection. You basically let the stewards do their job, and if they think it's right to be overturned, and that's the way it is. So, yeah, I'm a bit indifferent with this stuff.
I think that's the best way to do it. I don't know why we... Everybody can see that if there's a protest that needs to be done, but the stewards basically, I don't think, really listen to, especially the trainer. The owner comes in and then the jockey has their say, but they can see the footage these days. They've got every camera angle in the book. They can have a look at the front on, the side on. They can slow-mo it, and they can do all different kinds of things that they couldn't do in yesteryear. So I don't know why we need to muck around and have everybody say what they have to say regarding a steward's inquiry or a protest these days.
Couldn't agree more.
Nailed it.
Yep. Just with the Lloyd Williams trained gallopers, De Graves heavily supported. Did you follow the money in regarding the push for that galloper? Because we all knew that he was well weighted. He had form against Armory, who was competitive and unlucky, you could say, in a Cox plate. And then the money came for him. Is that just the green light for the punters sitting at home on a Saturday just to follow it in there, Jack?
We spoke about this on our deep dive yesterday, Gareth, and this is my punting lesson. It can be for your show today. The imported horses, first up, the market, the big dogs who move the market, they get it right all the time. Anthony Van Dyke, Caulfield Cup. Hugh Bowman went by the Caulfield train station and almost still won. The winner of the Cox Plate was heavily backed first up. They always know. So when the amount of money came for this horse, someone knows something you don't. Either follow the money or stay out of the race.
All right, then. So follow the import gallopers when the money is coming for them first up. Pete, your punting lesson today?
Yeah, mine's pretty simple, Gareth. If you really don't like a card and you don't like conditions, you don't have to bet. You can always just save it for another day.
Wash your mouth out.
This is a little bit talking about what's happening tomorrow. It's 21-metre rail with a cutaway, with a wet conditions and 10 races. I'm going to be looking for a little bit of solace, I think, if I'm betting every race there tomorrow.
All right then, Mark.
We've been talking about this since Sunday afternoon, this 21-metre rail.
So say again, Jack, sorry, we have you down because sometimes we just don't trust what you're going to say when you're not directed to in that conversation. So what were you saying then?
Peter's been on about this 21-metre rail since Sunday afternoon.
Okay, surely you've done your homework regarding a 21-metre rail there at Belmont. They'll be swooping out wide there, Peter.
The best ground will be out wide. I'm not necessarily sure they'll be swooping, but the cutaway is a bane of my existence as a punter. I'd rather see no cutaway ever again in my lifetime.
At least there's no horses that are held up, Pete.
Oh, I don't know about that, Gareth.
Usually the cutaway at Belmont, when you have a look at their recent history, is that they walk and then they sprint home and you want to be in the first four. Is that right?
Yeah, it's not ideal if you want to be the fastest horse, though. A walking race doesn't help anyone. So,
but isn't that your job to predict the future and dissect the races and look back at previous history to say, well, if the cutaway is in place there at Belmont, that you want to be on a horse in the first four or five?
It also throws up pretty awful look or ordinary looking results as well, this cutaway. So anyway, we'll get to it when we throw out some of the selections.
All right then, and Mark, your punting advice?
A little bit the opposite to Pete. He's advising us a bit less. I'm going to advise a bit more. What I've learned over the last 9 months or so since I've joined the mailbag is the importance of diversifying your portfolio. So if you do the form like we all do, you don't have time to concentrate on more than one or at the most two regions, I think. But if you're part of a team like we are here and you can follow some people you trust, you can get your turnover up and you can, most importantly, flatten any bumps that you might hit in terms of your bank along the way. So that's my advice for today, diversify.
All right then, so bet more, basically.
In two words.
I like that. Pete, take a leaf out of Mark Roden's book. Okay, staking plan. We'll start off with you, Jack, there at Cranbourne tomorrow.
Okay. Race one, number six, Panda's Post, $50 on at the 420. I don't love the map, but it suits Johnny Allen, who rides at 7% pot at Cranbourne. This horse ran into Literary Magnate on debut at Warrnambool, was given the worst ride in the race and ran second to it. Literary Magnate came out and ran second to Finance Tycoon, who's a group horse. Panda trialled up really well behind the good horse, which dominated at Sale last week. Mark Zahar wrote it. I'll tweet about that. Then we're going to head to race six, number three, November Dreaming. We're going to have $100 on this at $2.90. It's been backed already. It was $3.70 to $3. Had a little quiet jump out between runs behind Dice Roll. I like the barrier draw. I like Jamie Carr, and I love the blinkers. I think we'll sit outside the lead and just win. This horse is better than these. And then we're going to finish off with race seven, number six, Obi. $50 on at $3.50. This horse has been $4.40 into that $3.50. Luke Curry replaces Celine Gaudry. It's a pretty big jockey switch. It's shown tactical speed before. I expect it's forward of midfield. And there'll be no excuses this start, which there were plenty last start. She was diggerized up front there and had genuine excuses and still got through the line well enough.
All right, then race one, number six, race six, number three, race seven, number six there for Jack and his staking plan for Cranbourne on a Wednesday afternoon. This is Gareth Hall and this is RSN Central. This is the Midweek Masterclass, thanks to the Mailbag team. So race one, number six, race six, number three, race seven, number six. So it was 100 the win November Dreaming there, Jack, 50 on Obi, and when it was 50 on the first one as well.
Yeah, we've also got race two, number seven, Stonefield. We backed this with the Midweek Masterclass two Saturdays ago. It was very, very unlucky running second. It's been knocked off early, the price, so we'll just wait a little bit. I'd happily take $4.50 or better if you're listening and you want to back it again.
All right, then. So is it 25 on Panda's Poet and 25 on Stonefield? Is that right?
No, $50 on Panda's Poet, not backing Stonefield at this stage. Okay. It's too short.
There you go. So race one, number six, race six, number three, race seven, number six. At the moment, Mark Roden, your staking plan for the six-race program there at Canterbury.
Yeah, a bit of a victim of the heavy racing schedule tomorrow, only six races. With the 200, I want to have two $80 win bets and a $40 double, shoot for the moon a bit. They're both Nash reward mounts. Nash has been running a bit below his long-term strike rate in recent months, but you look at his last 12 months at Canterbury, 25% strike rate plus about 60% POT. Really rides Canterbury very well, and I think he's got two suitable horses tomorrow. They are race four, number one, One More Sapphire, coming off a second with Nash on in similar grade last start, runs up to that. He's right in it, $80 on him at $4. Across to the last, race six, number one, Greek Hero. Hasn't been at the bit of weights for a long time, this horse. He's way down in class. Did enough in Saturday grade first up. Nash hops on. I think 650 is a great price. $80 on him at 650 and 40 on that double, which is $26.
All right, then. I like it. So that's the thoughts there from Mark Roden. What about you, Pete, there at Belmont tomorrow? You've got to have one bet, surely.
Oh, we've got two, Gareth. We're down two. Race five will start off. Number five, Satin Black. I thought it was pretty good last start, despite the fact it ran seventh. It just really didn't have any luck at all. It was held up behind a leader, which stopped in the straight, had to come off heels and was only really going through the line. First up was really good, over 1,000. I think we're going to get somewhat of a price with Real Charisma in the market for Pike and Williams, and they're just performing woefully compared with market expectations this recent wide of late. So I'm more than happy to try and take them on in every race I can find an opportunity. So Satin Black for me, gate two, Shooter McGrady is replacing the apprentice, and really he at worst will have this horse behind the leader, but he may very well be able to lead this. It's not a very good race, race five.
All right then. So then where do we go?
We'll go to race seven. Danny Morton's runner here, Empire Rain. Kesh Duran jumps onto it. It just maps particularly well. Again, not a very good race. This horse hasn't had any luck so far, this preparation, but it should be forward of midfield, gets into a perfect spot. And like I said, there's not many runners here where you really want to have a look at them and say, well, that's a horse that's going to be strong going through the line. I've had a look at all the trialers. There's only been a few of them that have been a pass mark at best. So I'm expecting that with fitness on its side, Empire Rain will be pretty difficult to beat there in race seven.
All right, then, race seven, number one, Empire Rain. As always, boys, it's a pleasure. Keep up the really good work. And we'll catch up with you next week for the Midweek Masterclass. Thanks, of course, to the Mailbag team. Any special offers this week, Pete?
Yes, we do, Gareth. If you go to the website, follow the links, you can pick up any of our sporting betting advice for the AFL, NRL. Use the code AFL at the checkout and you'll get $10 off any of the packs there.
All right, love your work. Thanks for that, Jack. Thanks for that, Mark. And thanks for that, Pete.
Beautiful.